Live from the historic Detroit Golf Club, home of the Rocket Mortgage Classic. It's the Spin on Golf Show presented by Rocket Mortgage. With your hosts, PGA professionals Jordan Young, Mike Fay, Brian Cairns, and WJR's own Sean Bullegian.
Well, so glad you could join us on a Sunday night per usual here on 760 WJR. The gang's all here. You got the trio out at the DGC, BC, Jordan Young, Mike Fay. I'm Sean Bullegian. So glad you could join us on a Sunday night. Fellas, how the heck are you?
Oh, great.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm back from Vegas. Got a tan. Mike, how about you? You could get a tan.
Oh, I was working outside. I'm my tan.
Yeah.
A little windburn, I think, more.
Do you tan or do you burn?
A lot of green grass out there right now. Looks like there's been a little rain here locally, but tell you what, the places were busy this weekend, I'll tell you that.
You know, it was funny. I want to continue a conversation we were just having with Chris Renwick, of course, here on 760 WJR. In case you missed it, at the end of Sports Wrap, we were talking about the, you know, look, it's Michigan. You know that the weather's going to change, and it's not the first time that we're scheduled to have some snow late in April and everything. But it's so interesting because I don't remember a year, guys, this isn't an overstatement, where things got green so fast this year. I mean, from the trees to the grass to everything. And, you know, the question came up, what is the snow going to do to some of the courses out there? And, you know, it'd be one thing if the snow came down and it was, you know, 29 degrees and everything, but the weather's going to be warm. The snow's going to melt quickly. It's probably going to affect the course like some rain is. I mean, is that, you know, a crazy thought? Because it's going to melt quickly. It's not going to be too bad, is it?
No, hopefully it kills all the dandelions.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
For sure.
Good
but
call.
I'll tell you what, the snow will do nothing. And it might delay, you know, some tee times for 6, 8, 10 hours, whatever. But I still remember this. We played at Ohio State probably about 10 years ago, and we were in a big event there in the college tournament, and it hailed. And it hailed so bad. This event was so important to regionals. We had to use towels. The coaches and the players are using towels to push these pebbles off the green. And this would happen. It was like a sun shower, but this was a sun pebble fest of hail. And they were so big, they were like little small, you know, alleys. They were, you couldn't putt, so you'd have to clear a line or wait 3, 4, 5 minutes for them to melt and then continue on, because it was like this. It was going to be like 40 degrees, 42, 44 degrees, and this stuff would hit. Well, this went on like 5 times during the round. Delayed the round. We barely got it in, but it had to get in because so many teams were going to move on and need those results for regionals to get into nationals.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to do much. Like Jordan said, it's the soil temperature is high enough now, Mike.
That it is.
Grass is growing. I mean, the soil temperature is probably over 50 degrees.
Yeah.
So I think we're beyond that. Like you said, if it got down to 19 and snowed, you might have some issues with, you know, but I don't think the plant's going to be harmed at all.
No.
You know, it's interesting. I remember talking to you guys last year about what your ideal weather was. And correct me if I'm wrong. I think it was unanimous across the board. You guys all wanted that nice hot day, right? Isn't that what, if for a golfer, you just want, you know, not scalding or anything like that, but just a nice hot day? Is that the best way to say it?
Yeah, definitely.
Goggles far.
You like hats?
I don't want to feel on the 14th hole that I feel like a 2x4. I can't move. I've stiffened up and I've drank 17 bottles of water. I can't get loose. It's the worst feeling. In it. Like today, I played a few holes and I was like, I can't move. So, you know, yeah.
65 in the morning, going up to about 75, no wind, and just a nice soft sun.
Mm. How about you, Mike? Anything in particular for you?
I like no wind, too. That's kind of fun playing, right?
Like 15 to 20, overcast, 85.
Nice and warm set. The ball goes far.
Sean, what's your preference? Yeah. What do you like?
You know what? Jordan, I love that fall day, getting up in the morning and that nice fall day where, you know, I'm not talking October where you can catch that. You know, it might be 40 degrees or something. But that 58 degree day, and you know, it's starting to change a little bit. That's something that has always been really cool to me. You know, you still get the dew and everything, but just that nice fall morning. That's the one for me. It really
is. The smells are different in the fall because you get some leaves that are down, and when it gets warm in the fall, and those apples on the ground and all that stuff's starting to kind of decompose, but it smells good when it gets warm out.
Shadow angles are really low.
Yeah. It is different.
What does it matter for you? They all go down into the hole anyway. What the hell?
Well, yeah, right.
I mean, what does it matter?
I like to go south. You know, it's better.
Yeah.
It's greener. There's leaves on the trees.
But it was nice. It was a little chilly the last few days, but it was nice. The wind helped.
The courses were packed the last 2 days. I mean, we're out there today. We had to quit because it's so packed. And I'm like, it's not real warm out here in the range at Fox Hills on both ends. Was more packed.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, it's cold and people are golfing.
Yep.
Crazy.
In shorts.
Yeah, in shorts.
In shorts. Shorts.
Awesome. Yeah.
I got four layers on. There was people there in shorts today.
That's awesome, too.
Well, we are going to talk about the RBC. I'm sure you saw the putt by now. If you have not seen the putt, check us out on StreamYard. We are going to show the putt. Of course, I'm talking about Kim's birdie that wasn't a birdie. It was a par. I want to get certainly the pros take on that. Pretty cool story out of the LPGA as well, if you weren't aware. Mike K made us all aware of that. Or Mike Fake, excuse me, made us all aware. Mike K, sorry. made us all aware of that, and we're going to get into that. We also have a special guest coming up on the show here tonight, Chip Graham, the executive director of the Ben Hogan Foundation, joining us at 7:30. And one of the things that is a common theme on this show, and you can't help it when you guys are at a place like the DGC and you're talking about dealing with Rocket Mortgage, is the amount of giving back that golf does. And certainly that's one of the things that we're going to be talking about with Chip Graham, the executive director of the Ben Hogan Foundation.
I can't emphasize how much golf gives back, and it's so much in the back of the room type atmosphere. It's quiet, and they're giving back more than, I won't name other organizations, sports organizations, but they make sure they're on TV telling people how much they give back. The PGA Tour and the other LPGA Tour, they worked extremely hard to not let it be known where this is coming from sometimes. It's really, really awesome.
PGA Tour surpasses $3 billion in all-time charitable givings this past year.
That's
billion.
Unbelievable.
Since 1968.
Well, I don't have all those stats yet, but 72. I'll just go with the $3 billion, all right?
72.
$3 billion's a lot.
It's a lot. That's a lot.
It's a lot, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so definitely one of the things we're going to be talking about, in case you don't know, is, you know, well, what exactly is the Ben Hogan Foundation, and you know, how are they helping people out, and how are they helping the golf world out? So we will definitely get into that as well. As I mentioned, got to talk about the RBC in case you missed it. Yes, Stuart Sink got it done. Shot a 70 today. I said kind of cruise control to the victory, earns himself nearly $1.3 million and 500 FedEx points as well. When we come back, we'll talk about that. Want to get these guys' take on the birdie that wasn't as well. So much to do before we get out of here on a Sunday night, but we're just getting started. So glad that you can join us wherever you may be. My name is Sean Beligian. I'm in my office. Those guys are in their office at the Detroit Golf Club. So glad you could join us on a Sunday night right here on 760 WJR.
Welcome back to the Spin on Golf Show, presented by Rocket Mortgage and the Rocket Mortgage Classic. Now back to your hosts, PGA professionals Jordan Young, Mike Fay, Brian Cairns, and WJR's own Sean Beligian.
So glad you can join us wherever you may be. And, that, you know, obviously we're going to get the guys' thoughts on the RBC, but when I saw this yesterday, I thought of these three guys immediately, and I could not wait to talk to them to get their take on this. In case you missed it, Siwoo Kim yesterday had a birdie putt that wasn't a birdie putt. We have it on Spin on Golf on Twitter, and we have it on our StreamYard right now as we're taking a look at this cut. An amazing putt, to say the very least, that sat right on top of the lip. And when I say right on top of the lip, I'll let the video speak for itself if you're watching along with us now. If you're listening on 760 WJR, I'm telling you it sat right on top. And then it sat. And it sat. And it sat over a minute long. And it's funny to watch Kim and Matt Kuchar kind of both bend over going, it's moving. It's moving. It's moving. It's like that final scene in Caddyshack. The ball just sat there and sat there and sat
just
there.
The master was watching the ball. Nunzio.
Damn your eyes, man.
But you know what? I'd side with the players on this point. I mean, I guess you got two players that are obviously cautious about the rules, but they're also Kuchar knows that rule. And hit a moving ball, you could be in a penalty situation also. But then again, we have a time restraint here when the ball is on the lip. So,
well, he's got time to walk to his ball, and he made his way to the golf ball.
He's got 10 seconds.
And then once he gets there, he's got 10.
Right.
And it looks like this was – I didn't time it, but it looks like this was maybe another 40 to 60 seconds beyond that.
Right.
If the ball is still moving
– you can't touch it.
If the ball is still moving, you cannot play it.
Right.
You can't touch it. Well, you can. It's your choice, which I'm sure sometimes guys do not announce that it is moving, right?
Right.
But so they're all looking at it, and then, of course, it falls in.
But he had a player right there looking at another player, so it's not his story. It's their story. So we have those four people.
Kuchar didn't care. He had a – well,
right.
Whatever.
I mean, but he stuck up for him. Yeah. So – and they gave him a penalty anyway, right, Sean?
Yep, they did. It was Jordan. You're absolutely. It was over a minute that it sat up there, and it was funny because it was Kuchar that was making more of an argument about it. He's going, guys, it was moving. What, you know? What's he supposed to do? The ball's moving, and BC, you nailed it right away as we were watching the replay. You started the clock. You said 9, 8, 7. It's 10 seconds. I'm intrigued to hear from you guys. Is this something that maybe they should revisit? Because clearly you can see the ball moving. Like you guys all watched it the first time you saw the video. You could see the ball moving. Is this something that perhaps they could revisit? Or do you think this is one of those hard and fast golf rules?
Boy, I
don't know.
I mean, this one-off situation, it happens so infrequently that ball would be moving on the lip. It usually comes to rest or it goes in. It really isn't that long.
I think the 10 seconds is pure enough.
I think it's fine, but the PGA Tour obviously didn't make a decision on his behalf or against him if there wasn't enough evidence for them to believe it. It's hard to believe that they went against the players.
I'm just tired of guys getting penalized after the fact or from call-in or from video. And it's like, come on, it did not change the course of the shot or the result. I mean, whether it's the guy brushing the sand in the bunker by like a pebble or a wisping of the grass. And it's like, come on.
We have a little bit of equity here. Can I side with the player once in a while here? Come on.
Well, I mean, just common sense.
I mean, Patrick Reed, come on. Oh, did I say that out loud?
Oh, boy. Man. Let's just hope DJ doesn't have any more issues this year from the past.
He's okay.
Yeah.
DJ's fine.
I want to know what – he shoots 70. Sink shoots 70 today.
Right.
What was this – what he had, like a five-shot lead going in today?
He had a lot.
What, and he just puts it in neutral?
It was pretty hard to put it in neutral. You can't steer it around that golf course.
I know, but I mean, that's the best guy to probably have in that position, though, I think.
Ball starting 1 yard right of center and coming right back to center every shot.
Yeah, every tracer was kind of straight.
I wonder what his 70 was probably the 10th or 12th, well, maybe more, probably 20th lowest round today.
Oh, gosh, yes. Even Stewie bought
maybe him. More. Brian maybe Stewart might be 30.
Him. Yeah.
So it was just interesting, but he still wins by 4.
I mean, it's really hard to win on the PGA Tour going cruise control in the back nine.
23 spots he moved up today.
Stewie?
No, Stuart Sink.
Oh.
Wrong Stewie.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, right.
It's okay.
I know. He went 63-63 in the first two rounds.
Well, yeah, that helps too.
It kind of helps to be way ahead.
Uh-huh. Yeah, Morikawa was the only one that went over par there, really, in the last group in him, you know. But besides that, I mean, everybody else was 1 or 4, 3, 2.
Jordan, to your question, I can't count the golfers right now, but there were a ton of guys. I would literally have to sit here and say it out loud as I'm looking at just today's. You had a 65. You had a slew of 66, a slew of 67, five, six, seven different 68s. And then you had a handful of 69s. And then Stuart Cink, of course, shot a 70 today. But it really was cruise control, guys, as he ended up winning by four strokes.
27 scores lower than 70 today.
Wow.
All he needed was 70. He could have shot 76.
Yeah.
No, he could have shot 70.
73.
70.
Could have shot 73. Yeah. Yeah.
That's Morikawa.
That's my Canadian math coming out there.
79.
You know, 90%. We pay more taxes there, right? So, but anyways, yeah. Man, could you win it with a – how many shot lead? Six shot lead on the PGA Tour?
I don't think I could win.
But, oh, come on. You could win.
Maybe. There, maybe. Not at a long golf course, but no. There, maybe. Yes.
Yeah, you could do it.
I think we could probably squeeze one.
Guys, a guy that's almost 48 years old, he's going to be 48 years old in a month. I love it. I'm sorry. That's something. As I've gotten older – you know, so many people want to put us out to pasture. It's like, whoa, time out here. This is a guy that can still get it done.
I thought he was going to say so many people are asking him to go play golf.
Right.
No, they aren't.
We know.
That's okay. We'll ask you at some point in a few years.
All right. Yeah. Then you'll never ask again. But hey, listen. Guys are taking care of themselves more today. That's one thing in years gone by. You know, guys, let's face it. I mean, you just look at guys and fitness and taking care of yourself is something that's so much more important today than it has in years gone by. And you're seeing guys continue to rack up the wins. Now, they might not go win a major or anything like that. There's a reason why we hold Jack, you know, at age 46 at Augusta up on a pedestal and everything, but guys like that, they're still going to win tournaments like this, boys.
Yeah, if you look, he's in the Tiger era. Agree?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's in the Tiger era, so he's a reflection of that fitness regime that started back when he was, what, he's 3 years older than Tiger? 2 years older than Tiger, so Tiger was into that fitness stuff, 19, 20, 21, so he was 23, 24, playing the Hogan Tour back then. So he was definitely on the good side of it. He understood it. He saw the benefit of it by Tiger. So he can just call Tiger and say thank you.
Absolutely.
I mean, really, he was part of that generation that started that conversation of athletic fitness. And then all that we're teaching now with these kids, that conversation was started basically the beginning of the Tiger era. You know, it's not coincidental.
Speaking of Tiger, that news came out last week, 84 to 87 miles an hour.
No skid marks.
That was breaking news.
Yeah, no skid marks.
That's pretty fast.
It's very fast. Yeah. Down a hill that's notable. But anyway, it's too bad because we might not see him play another professional tournament again, which I'll really miss.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
That'd be devastating. I mean, that's the one thing, like, honestly, I don't know how many people have had that conversation because first things first, you know, you hear the story and I'm just thinking, I hope the guy's all right. You know, I want him to be there for his kids. I want him to, you know, grow old and everything. That's what we all want. And then BC, like you said, that reality hits and you're like, are we ever going to see him play golf again? And now that we know, look, he's on the road to recovery and, you know, this isn't, thank the good Lord, a life-threatening situation. Now the conversation is, are we ever going to see him again?
And
boy, oh boy. I mean, with those injuries, guys, you know, I'll let you talk about that. That's devastating. Let's be honest.
Well, it's good to see the other, so many guys reaching out to him. I think, who was it? Was it JT?
JT.
Who's been over to see him several times.
Yep.
I'm sure some of the other guys have too. I think that probably means more to him than a lot. And hopefully his spirits are up and he'll come back and at least attempt to do something. I guarantee he's going to come back and try something.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Yeah.
Whether it's going to work out or not, that's another question. But, you know, we definitely miss him right now.
Yep.
For sure.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Well, more on the RBC Heritage. We're going to check in, as I mentioned, with the LPGA as well. But as promised, when we come back, really looking forward to talking to this gentleman, Chip Graham, the executive director of the Ben Hogan Foundation, is going to join us. So many things going on with the Ben Hogan Foundation. Who better to talk to than the executive director of the Ben Hogan Foundation? So glad that you can join us on a Sunday night. My name is Sean Belegian. The boys are all at the beautiful DGC, and you are listening to Spin on Golf right here on 760 WJR. Don't go anywhere.
Back for another round. It's the Spin on Golf Show, presented by Rocket Mortgage and the Rocket Mortgage Classic. Once again, your hosts, PGA professionals Jordan Young, Mike Fay, Brian Cairns, and WJR's own Sean Belegian.
Well, so glad you could join us on a Sunday night Spin on Golf here on 760 WJR. As promised, really glad that this gentleman can join us as well. He is the executive of the Ben Hogan Foundation. And some pretty cool news. The Ben Hogan Foundation is partnering with First Tee Greater Detroit, and our friend Lawrence Burns, certainly a big friend of the station here, 760 WJR and the Children's Foundation, to host the Ben Hogan Classic, and kindly joining us the executive director of the Ben Hogan Foundation. Let's welcome him in, Mr. Chip Graham. And first of all, Chip, thank you so much for joining us here on Spin on Golf on 760 WJR. How are you, sir?
Doing great. Thank you for having me.
No, really appreciate you joining us. And for the benefit of people out there that maybe aren't familiar with you and what's going on with the Ben Hogan Foundation, Chip, if you can, tell us a little bit about the Ben Hogan Foundation.
The Ben Hogan Foundation was started about 12 years ago. Robert Stennett, our CEO, and a few friends, Lisa Scott, the great niece of Mr. Hogan, actually got together and decided that they needed to celebrate the life of Mr. Hogan. And they started a foundation in Fort Worth to honor and enhance his legacy. And they do it with certain scholarship programs. Obviously, the First Tee program with scholarships, the Northern Texas PGA, we do scholarships with, the mentoring scholarships we have with a local college where we pair students with mentors. Our Award of Perseverance scholarships with a local hospital that's in honor of Mr. Hogan and in light of his accident in 1949. And that's it. We support youth character development, and it's exciting to see the kids and the young kids grow. And there's nothing better than the symmetry between Mr. Hogan and the First Tee. You know, everything that Mr. Hogan stood for, from perseverance to integrity to honesty, it's everything the First Tee is about. And so we are, we're proud to do those things, and we know Mr. Hogan will be proud.
You know, it's interesting, before you came on here today, Chip, one of the things that we've talked about on this show since I've been involved the last couple of years, I don't think that maybe the average human being outside of the world of golf understands how much the world of golf gives back. It really is an amazing thing going on inside the world of golf. Can you speak on that for a moment?
It's incredible. It's you know, if you look at every PGA Tour event, and every PGA Tour event has a charitable component, and it's all about giving back to those communities and the kids and the programs and everything involved with golf, and those events go straight to charity, and the connection with the people involved is quite enormous.
Chip Graham, kindly joining us, the executive director of the Ben Hogan Foundation. You know, Chip, if you can tell us about this new partnership with First Tee Greater Detroit and how this all came about.
Well, it was, it's exciting. And a few years back, the Ben Hogan Foundation worked with Oakland Hills Country Club to celebrate their 100th anniversary. And we came down because Mr. Hogan, of course, had a presence there at Oakland Hills, winning the 1951 U.S. Open, which he felt was probably the greatest competitive round of golf that he has ever played. And once we got to Oakland Hills, the people were amazing. Our host at Oakland Hills, Mrs. Donna Bonk, just went above and beyond and helping us celebrate that legacy. And we became friends and we built relationships. And Mrs. Bonk and her husband traveled to Fort Worth, spent some time with us, actually came down and joined Shady Oaks Country Club. She's been very involved with our foundation and just learning about what we do with the first tee. And she became a board member and we had some great ideas and we talked about it. And she left town and she went to work and got in touch with Larry Burns and things happened. And the Children's Foundation took over the first tee of Greater Detroit. And Larry came and visited us last year. He came down and played in our Ben Hogan Invitational and got to know us as friends. And what a greater way to see if we can build a Ben Hogan Learning Center for the first tee of Greater Detroit. We've got one that we built a few years back, and we're about to open our second one here in Fort Worth, Texas.
Outstanding. You know, I can't help but notice how you have referred to him multiple times as Mr. Hogan. And you know, if a guy deserves respect, I think Mr. Hogan certainly deserves respect. But a little birdie told me that you were Mr. Hogan's assistant golf professional not that long ago. Is that true, Chip?
I was one of many. Yes. When I left college, my first job was at Shady Oaks Country Club. And back in 1989, joined the staff, and there's a number of assistant pros that work there, but it was it was an amazing position, amazing place to grow up. And we call Mr. Hogan, Mr. Hogan, not because he demands it, and it's because he earned it. And, you know, Mr. Hogan was the ultimate gentleman. And I didn't know Mr. Hogan in his competitive days of golf. We knew Mr. Hogan as a grandfather. He was at the club. You know, I was around him for about the last 7 years of his life, but he was the ultimate gentleman. And everything he did with respect, and he did with honesty, and he did with integrity. And when you surround yourself and you're around that type of greatness, it rubs off. And everyone called him Mr. Hogan, and he was very gracious. He was very pleasant and just a great man to be around.
Do you have a favorite personal story being around Mr. Hogan? Because it's one of those names, you just hear the name Ben Hogan and, oh, I mean, really, it's one of those names and a man that certainly commands the respect that you speak of. Do you have a personal favorite story with Mr. Hogan?
You know, I've got a number of personal stories that are amazing. And as a young assistant professional, the best time to be around Mr. Hogan was when nobody else was around. You could actually have conversation. A lot of people didn't approach him. And of course the club at Shady Oaks was very protective and it was his club to relax and go to. But there was a number of stories. And when I first got to Shady Oaks, Mr. Hogan loved dogs and just really cherished dogs. And there was two or three dogs. One of them actually Paul Harvey had a story about. And there were doggy doors in the pro shop. Mm-hmm. And dogs came and went through the pro shop and they would go through they would go in the clubhouse and they would go into the dining room. And we had an old dog later in life that became diabetic and the members took care of it and followed Mr. Hogan around and followed a number of the staff around. And I ended up giving it shots at the closing the clubhouse. And I looked, his name was Buster, and I looked for Buster quite a bit. And it was really cool after about 30 minutes of searching the clubhouse for this dog that I was trying to give shots to before I left. I found him curled up in the chair at Mr. Hogan's table, sitting in the same chair that Mr. Hogan sits in every single day. Mm. And when you love dogs and whenever you see those dogs and all of a sudden, you know that it's like, wow, this dog is sitting in Mr. Hogan's chair every single night. And that's where Buster slept.
Awesome. Cool. Chip That's Graham, cool. The executive director of the Ben Hogan Foundation, kindly joining us here on Spin on Golf. What an amazing honor it must be for you to now be the executive director of the Ben Hogan Foundation. How did this come about?
Well, I am honored. I am very honored. And I'm put in this position by a number of great friends and a number of people that I had been around most of my life. And I was, as I left Shady Oaks back in the late 90s, 96, 97, and I was a head golf professional and a general manager at three other clubs here in Dallas-Fort Worth. And everything I did, every decision I made, I had to ask myself, what would Mr. Hogan do? And I continued to do those things, and I was successful at three other clubs. And about 3 years ago, we had the Invitational at Shady Oaks, and Mike Wright, the director of golf, and Robert Stinnett, our CEO, had invited me to come back to play in the Invitational, and I did, and I was just amazed at what they had put together to honor Mr. Hogan and all the scholarship programs and the kids. To see the impact that this play that the Hogan Foundation was making on kids was amazing, and I had just kind of reached out to Mike and Robert to say thank you, and I would be glad to help in any way I could. And he said, you know, Robert might be retiring here pretty soon, and we're looking for a new executive director, and we thought you would fit the bill. And so we spent about 6 months and met with the board of directors, and you know, I knew a lot of the people, and the big thing is they wanted someone that knew Mr. Hogan. And I may be the last one. I may be the last executive director that actually knew Mr. Hogan. And when you've drank the Kool-Aid and you understand who Mr. Hogan is, you know, the passion and the excitement for every single thing you do, and it's all about giving, and it's all about giving back, and it's what would Mr. Hogan want us to do, and that's what we ask ourselves every single day, and that's how we make our decisions.
Great stuff. One more thing before we let you go. How does one sign up for the upcoming Ben Hogan Championship of Michigan presented by Rocket Mortgage?
Just email your information to info@benhoganfoundation.org. You can email your name, your phone number. I will personally pick up the phone and call you. We don't have you fill out forms. We don't have you sign anything. Well, just give us a call. Or send us an email at info@benhoganfoundation.org, and we will personally take care of you.
Great stuff. Chip Graham, the executive director of the Ben Hogan Foundation. Continued success to you. Great stories. Really appreciate you taking the time, sir.
You bet. Thank you for having me. Thank you, guys.
All right, Chip Graham, kindly joining us. Spin on Golf. We're going to talk some LPGA. When we come back, don't you go anywhere. Gang's all here. Spin on Golf right here on 760 WJR.
Welcome back to the Spin on Golf Show, presented by Rocket Mortgage and the Rocket Mortgage Classic. Now back to your hosts, PGA professionals Jordan Young, Mike Fay, Brian Cairns, and WJR's own Sean Bolegian.
Well, so many good things going on with Rocket Mortgage Classic. I mean, we know that, and the Ben Hogan Foundation, a part of it. If you listen to the show, you know that, but... it's amazing, again, how many cool things are going on in the golf world and the giving back. And certainly we appreciate Chip for joining us here on 760 WJR. Some pretty cool things going on the LPGA Tour as well. And, you know, Mike, you were telling me about it, and I purposely have not watched this yet. Some pretty cool stuff going on with a very talented 19-year-old, huh?
Yes, you guys, it was a shootout in Hawaii here. Had the chance to watch it, the Lottie Championship. And Lydia Ko, what is it, her first victory in 3 years?
That's crazy.
Which is pretty awesome. She shot 67, 63, 65, 65, 28 under. She won by 7 shots. And I'll tell you what, if you weren't making a whole bunch of birdies, you weren't up the leaderboard.
No way.
This golf course
giving away 63 this week, right?
Going nuts. Oh, yeah.
10 under was 48.
Yeah, exactly. You need to start rolling your onion out there. Because, yeah, absolutely. Because I watched MB Park yesterday. She just ripped up the floor. I mean, 63 yesterday and comes tied second all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Jeez. I mean, welcome fantastic. Back. She hasn't played just 63. Awesome.
That's pretty good.
These numbers are just unbelievable.
We had to feel for Nelly Korda, though, because she lost her putter somewhere along the road.
Oh, you lose your putter. Round,
and then got it back around number 13 and then kept making more birdies.
Oh, she didn't lose it.
Yeah.
Like, she didn't leave it on the 14th tee.
No.
She actually just did abandon her during the round.
Exactly.
Okay.
It was
you have to clarify that.
Yeah.
Because some people lose things all the time.
Exactly.
BC.
Yes.
Ooh. Keys, putters, clubs.
And then she turned the birdie machine back on the back nine, but it was too late.
Wallets.
So pretty awesome stuff for Lydia Ko. Very excited about that. And on StreamYard, you
just looking at the transformation,
that.
like Chris here, our good buddy here, was talking about the physique transformation of the females. Hi, I'm out of the camera again. the physique transformation. Maybe they were a little bit behind the men in developing their bodies into this athletic build, mm-hmm. but they are certainly there now, and it's pretty good to see. And everyone's like, well, they hit a 220 down the middle.
They're moving it more.
Oh yeah.
More of them are moving it more.
Oh man. A lot more of them, and a lot more are in the game now. Not just 10 ladies like it used to be.
Let's get that video. Yes. Up. What's the one girl?
Okay. So let's take a look at this. This is pretty cool. Yuka Seiza. She is from the Philippines, and one of the best players in the Philippines, obviously. So she loves Rory McIlroy, and she
wants to swing.
Yep, Yuka Seiza.
She finished T6.
Yep, she played fantastic. She starts out 64-64, and then it was, 71-70. Something like that.
Look at this.
Look at how good this golf swing is.
Look how much backup she had there.
She had a little back.
Serious forces going on.
Yes. And she is pounding it off the tee, which was fun. She was hitting it a little bit past Lydia Ko.
I mean, she could be my new favorite. Now, look at those colors. Mm-hmm. I mean, are you kidding me?
Oh, yellow, man. Yellow. She plays Rickson.
Pretty close of a copy to her favorite player who she sat there. They were talking about on the broadcast, watching his swing over and over and over again.
Rory McIlroy.
Like, wait a minute. Rory. I watch his swing over and over again.
And you can't quite look like that.
Our swings have no resemblance to that at all.
I thought it was really cool. I wanted to show everybody.
Thanks for telling me that.
Yeah.
It's all good stuff. So 19 years old, doesn't have any status on the tour. So I'm thinking that she'll be getting more exemptions because she was
64-64.
Yes.
I'm telling you, a 19-year-old can move like that and not hurt themselves. But, you know, Rory moved a lot faster. His hip rotation was almost, 80 when he won a congressional. And now it's like 38. Okay, time slows us down, but self-preservation. But, man, look at her move. Holy cow.
Lexi Thompson. 17th minus 16, $24,000. I know this is going to be get into a topic that I probably shouldn't get into, but we should probably talk about it in the future. When are the girls going to make more money?
It is really, you know what? And we
$300,000 for first.
We saw it here. It's on par with the Champions Tour. That's what they're making.
I understand.
Okay. So they're working their freaking tail off to make their product go and to get sponsors. I mean, what they did at the Big House with the Pro-Am.
I know it's tough.
Do that. I mean, the PGA Tour
and Michael
guys
Wan,
don't do this.
Michael Wan was dynamic. He did an unbelievable job for several years. I'm wondering what's going to happen here because, they are the best in the world.
Why doesn't the PGA Tour take them over?
I don't know. Like I said, I don't want to go down this full force with a few minutes left in the show, but it is a topic that will come up the rest of the year. It comes up every year.
I'm in agreeance to this big time. I mean, I'm not in agreeance to some other sports getting money, but this is sickening to me. It really is.
I don't think I don't think it's comparable to other sports. I just don't. I think there's a massive difference. And I mean, no disrespect when I say that, but when I hear some of the other sports say it, I don't think it resonates like this. I really don't.
Right. I mean, this is, there's some really good players and athletes out there on the LPGA Tour and what they're doing for their brand week in and week out. All the players are all in, two pro-ams. They are working their fannies off 10 times harder than the PGA Tour player does. Just put that straight. Or, you know, the Champions Tour guys have to play in two pro-ams also every week. So I'd be on par with them. I mean, obviously we know the PGA Tour is top dog here.
I got a question for you guys just heading into the spring season here for our listeners. Quick tip, what do you want to do to get better in the spring? What can impact your game immediately, BC?
Learn how to find the bottom of your arc and your wedges. Chipping, pitching.
Low point. Low point pitch shots.
Yep.
And 50, 60, 70 yarders.
Yes.
Okay. And that has to do with pressure?
It has to pressure, do with forward pressure. Rotation. Yes, forward pressure, rotation. Okay. Understanding what your club base angle should be doing or should not be doing. Yes.
Another rabbit hole.
Yep.
All right, Mike.
Pre-swing fundamentals are really important this time, especially if we haven't picked up a golf club in a while. Learning where you aim at and stuff like that.
Did that all day today.
Oh, right? Checking some grips, making sure we're holding on to the golf club better.
It was a day of alignment. Was
stuff like that. Some aiming, which, well, my dad used to say, your towards is off.
What is your dad do for a living?
What are you aiming towards? Your towards is off. So towards. Aim at the towards. So
is that like awesome. Saying skosh?
Yeah, exactly.
Is that T-O-R-D-S?
I think so.
Yeah.
I'm going to say don't worry too much about your swing. Worry a lot more about your short game and your putting.
100%.
Do that, and you'll definitely crush your scores out of the gate in the first 2-3 weeks. Balance, tempo, tension, easy.
Yep.
That's it. Got all right, that,
guys,
Sean?
You kidding me? I'm writing all these notes down right now. I will add for me, go have fun, you idiot. Quit throwing clubs. That's my advice for the day. So go have fun, idiot. Quit throwing clubs.
I can't believe I'm blown away how clean shaven you are. I mean, I didn't even recognize you. I mean, obviously I'm kind of blind. But you aren't as good looking as I'm probably seeing. But
no, heavens no.
It's okay. They made those groupings of 12 tiles for BC. Yep. So if anybody knows those tiles and you see them in packages of 6 or 12, that's because of this guy right here.
Once a year, I get 12.
You don't buy them by one anymore. You buy them in 6s and 12s.
All right, we have a minute left. You know, I always like to ask you guys what's going on this week for you. So go around the table. What's going on this week, fellas?
I'm playing my first golf tournament in my second round of the year tomorrow.
Good. Where at?
Barton Hills Country Club, 27 holes, pro. BC will be there as well. We're not playing together.
No.
I'm a senior now, so I'm going a different route.
But he's still playing the same tees.
Yeah.
Until he gets 60.
Mike?
Looking like the upcoming weather here is not going to be good for being outside, so we're going to be inside coaching lots of golf at Walnut Creek.
Make sure to check out all these guys. You can find them online. You can find websites. Certainly, you can always find them here each and every Sunday night as well on 760 WJR. That's going to do it for another edition of Spin on Golf. What? Lots of thanks, our buddy Ray Templin, Mike Parsons, Nick Roddy, Eric Dortch, Mr. Golf himself back at the 760 WJR studios. Certainly want to thank Chip Graham, Jeff Marcero, as always, who does so many things behind the scenes. For everybody involved, my name is Sean Beligian, thanking you most of all for joining us right here. Spin on Golf, 760 WJR.